Okay. Today I'm going to hold this lecture since Dr. Tony Arkton. And in the previous class, we have covered the Fourier theory, right? And also the Fourier transform. Today's class, we're going to show you the properties of Fourier transform. This property is important because we need to use this kind of Fourier transform properties to transform the real signal from the time domain to the frequency domain. And then we do our manipulation to the signal. And then we transform back, right? Some kind of properties, the important properties that appear, like the linearity, time shift, and probably the most important one, the convolution, and the duality. For the resources, one result I want to point out is that we have this AC Java asset for the spectrum analysis. Use the link is in the, you click this link, you will open window to see the Java asset. This is very similar to our previous convolution applet. You give a you can draw a signal in the time domain, and after that you can convert the signal into the frequency domain to give you some visualization of what it looks like in the frequency domain. Today's class, I'm not going to show this, but you can try it by your own. Just click this thing. And another thing I want to point out is that for this transform properties, for the Fourier transform, and later on when we talk about the Laplace transform and Z transform, these properties are, most of them are common. Yeah, it's don't have much difference, and it will be seen. So if you remember, if you understand it well here, it will help you in the future. First of all, I want to give you a very quick review about the Fourier theory and the Fourier transform. For a periodic signal, using the Fourier theory, we can always decompose the signal as this. It can be the summation of ck times e to jk omega 0 t. This is the complex form of the Fourier theory. And since it will be the complex form, so that means either in the time domain or in the frequency domain, we have something like a plus b times c. We will see this imaginary part a lot. And for us, we care more about the trigonometric form of this Fourier theory. Since we can use the Euler's formula to represent e to the jk omega t as the combination of the cosine wave and the sine wave, that means for any kind of periodic signal, we can compose this signal by using the summation of lots of cosine wave and the sine wave. That's the foundation of the Fourier analysis. And this for the periodic signal. For the non-periodic signal, we can always make the fundamental period at infinity. Then we get the Fourier transform. X, the Fourier transform of X J omega equals to 1 over T and the integral of x t times e to the negative j omega t dt. So since the t gets close to infinity, omega 0, 2 pi over t, this will become gets close to 0, right? That means the k omega 0 is become continuously closed. Previously, the Fourier series is discrete. Here is continuous. In the slide that we do the Fourier transform for xt, we get this form. And also we have the inverse Fourier transform. If we already know the xj omega, we can always get back to our real-time signal, the xt. Right. And the formula is very similar. We can see later on in this course, this kind of similar form is because of the duality of the Fourier transform. The first property of a Fourier transform is the linearity. We have covered the linearity in the first chapter, and here we know that a Fourier transform is a linear transformation. That is kind of very important for us. Does anybody know why this linearity is important? Anybody have any idea? Why the linearity property is important?
Put a linear signal in, you get a linear signal out.
Right. Because remember the Fourier theory, we can decompose a signal as lots of cosine wave, sine wave, the summation. If the Fourier transform is a linear transform, we can transform each of them to the frequency domain, right? Since the sine wave and the cosine wave in the frequency domain is very simple, you already covered that, right? But if this is in the time domain, as the cosine in the frequency domain, it's just like this. Time domain, this kind of cosine wave will be very simple in the frequency domain. Just two poles in the negative omega zero and the positive omega zero. So the property of the linearity told us that for two signals, xt and yt, for any a and b, the transform of a times xt and b times yt will be the a times the Fourier transform of xt and plus b times the Fourier transform of yt. I will give a proof, quick proof here. This kind of notation, we use this kind of notation to represent a Fourier transform. The Fourier transform of the signal xt equals to x g omega, right? This is the capital X. And for another signal yt, the Fourier transform equals to g y j omega. Here, this linear property told us for any value a and b, if we give a signal a times xt plus b times yt, we do Fourier transform for this new signal and we will get a times xj omega plus b times yj omega. Usually this kind of proof, we will start with the definition of Fourier transform. We can get out of this this part A times XT, B times YT, and this will become A times 1 over T. So what's this part? The first part?
Big X, J omega.
Right. It's just big X, J omega. It's a Fourier transform for XT. This part is a Fourier transform for Y.
So when you write like capital X, J omega, I mean all that means is it's the Fourier transform and the X axis?
Yes. So in this course, we use the small xt, that means in the time domain signal. Mm-hmm. And correspondingly, we use the capital X and j omega. That means the Fourier transform of x.
Okay.
And also, some other test groups might use the x omega. They are exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a difference of the different notation. Is there any questions on the linearity? Why this practice? Second important property, the time shift property, which says we give a time delayed signal. So we give a time shift to the xt, we will get this form of the Fourier transform. This e to the negative j omega c is omega t, is this should be omega zero t. This is what's this form? This kind of form.
It's in the middle of the exponential.
It's a phase shift.
Right. Yeah.
That means for the Fourier transform, a time shift after transformation will become a phase shift. Remember in the for complex number, this kind of phase shift, kind of this angle, right, of this theta. For the real life application of this time shift properties, for the daily life, we are using our stereo sound system, right? In fact, this kind of sound system is they are applying this time shift property. That means you have it all the sound comes from one or two speaker, but it can make you feel that this sound comes from a lot of other directions. This is taking advantage of this time shift property. to prove this time shift property. We always go to the definition of the Fourier transform. By definition, the Fourier transform, we get this integral form. And we, for this kind of case, we will use a variable, we will use another variable like lambda equals to t minus t0. In this case, this integral becomes t. T will equal to lambda plus T0. J on it. Lambda plus T0. This D lambda plus D0 is nothing but D lambda. And for this part, we can just separate the two parts. And we remove this part out. We will get the time shift property. Is there any questions on this time shift? Also for the time scaling properties, we gave a time scaling for the signal xt. A times t is a is greater than zero. This means we will amplify this signal. Right? If a less than one, it means we decrease this signal. And after the Fourier transform, it will become one over the absolute value of A times x j omega over A. The proof of this time scaling is kind of similar to our previous proof. Usually, we will make change of the variable. We make lambda equals to A times T, which means the T will equal to lambda over A, and the DT will become 1 over A times D lambda. We first write down the Fourier transform of AT and do the variable change. Make it as the integral of lambda, and we do some steps, we will get the result is 1 over A times AX geometric over A. Here we didn't see this absolute value since we assume A is greater than 0. For the case that A is less than 0, we do the same thing and we will get this is negative A. And therefore we proved that this time scaling property. When we make the x a t, right? Is this x t the x a t will become if this is if this is 2 t. I think I make some mistake. It's like stretching the signal. Stretching the signal. To make it longer or make it shorter, this kind of x a t.
You're affecting time, not the amplitude.
Yeah.
And the important idea is that. This is in the time domain. The time domain scaling after the Fourier transform in the frequency domain, it also has some kind of scaling, but it has a coefficient, it's 1 over absolute value of A. This kind of time scaling is useful in our life. Like for example, for the real application, currently we are playing an MP3 file. Some player might have a function called speed up or slow down, right? Maybe 2 times or 3 times speed up. In this case, you will hear that the sound is played very fast, right? Like 2 times fast and 3 times fast. This kind of properties is used as the time scaling property for the signal. Also, the time reversal. Time reversal of x t will become the frequency reversal of the x negative geometry. I'm not going to cover the proof again because it's simple, right? And it's kind of boring. And one point out that if you give a time reversal for here. They give a time reversal equal to the magnitude of this frequency signal and times the angle of this signal. The magnitude is the it's more like an even operation, right? This is, when this is become negative, this is still positive. This two are equal. But for the angle, it didn't change. This part is still negative j omega. That means this is x negative j omega is a complex conjugate. So the time reversal of a signal is equivalent to the conjugation in the frequency domain. If this is like this is a frequency domain, and if for real number, this is J, this is imaginary part, and this is the real part. This kind of will become this, the conjugate. The question is, can we time reverse a signal? No, right. But why we need this property? Sometimes, since after the time reverse, the signal will become totally different. In some cases, after time reversing, the signal will become become easier to manipulate. We might, after time reversal, we might can model approximate this signal better and do some analysis. And after the manipulation, we will do the time reversal again and get back to the real signal. There are lots of properties. But that's you will get some kind of a table of all these properties one by one, and when you do the homework or you the exam, you might need them. And the multiplication by power of t. For our signal ft, if we time x to the power of n in the frequency domain, we will get this form. This is the derivative, right? Like if we time t, we will get the first of the derivative. If we time t squared, we will get second of the derivative. And for the proof, we will make n equal to 1. We only times to x to t, and then we will prove it is equal. And then we do it recursively. We can prove it for any kind of higher power of t. This kind of property is still correct. So multiplication by a complex exponential. We also call this property as modulation. That means for our time domain signal, if we multiply by e to j omega t, we will get a frequency shift in the frequency domain. So why is this property useful? So for this modulation property, for example, when we are driving car, we listen to the radio, we will set our frequency channel like maybe 94.1, And when we want to do this, when we are doing this, we have a modulation component in the radio, and we will do the frequency shift using this. And we will set to the specified frequency. Both the differentiation and the integration. The in time domain, the differentiation will make change to the signal in the frequency domain will become j omega to the power of n. This kind of differentiation might give you sometimes give you some bad effects, such as if we design a differentiator using our circuit, we might have some noise, right? The noise of this signal after this differentiation, this part will become much bigger. That means you need to be very careful when you design a differentiator to take care of the noise. Otherwise, after the differentiation, you might can only get the noise of that signal, because the noise part will be enlarged very bigly after the differentiation in the time domain.
Any way to filter that out?
Usually you can do some kind of like something like you can export some impulse or delta and ut. Remember, if we differentiate the ut, this will become delta. You can, it's like case by case. If the idea of this is when you do the differentiation to the signal, you need to care about the noise. Otherwise, it will mess up after the differentiation, because the noise part will be enlarged very quickly. This is exponential grid, the growth. The convolution property, this is kind of interesting, because the convolution of two signals in time domain will become the multiplication in the frequency domain. That's the most important one for the Fourier transform. Can anybody tell me why this one is important? Right. Since we already talked about the convolution, how to compute convolution, right? It's kind of complicated. And if we have this Fourier transform table, we can transform this two signal into frequency domain. In frequency domain, we don't need to compute the convolution again. It's just a multiplication. And after we multiplication these two signals, we use the inverse Fourier transform, and we convert it back. We will get the convolution of this two signal. That's one of the most important reasons why we need the Fourier transform. How can Fourier transform help us to do some?
Anybody want me to prove this? No. You can just remember because that's the property very important. Also, remember the duality. You can imagine that if we give xt times ht, this part after the Fourier transform, this will become some form of the convolution of this capital X and capital H.
Right.
And so here, in the time domain, the multiplication will become the, in the frequency domain, the convolution. Here we have a coefficient of 1 over 2 pi. And another property, the password area. This kind of integration for x squared, xt, what's this one? Look familiar? What's the meaning of do this integral of x square t? This is the energy, right?
Yeah.
That's the energy of this signal. And we notice here in the frequency domain, this form is zero energy. That's very important property because that means after Fourier transform, the energy of this signal didn't change. We can directly compute the energy of this signal in the frequency domain. We don't need to get back to the time domain to compute the energy. The energy is equal. For the duality, here, xt, big xt, after transformation, will become 2 times more x negative omega. This form
may look a little bit weird for you,
because usually we saw the small xt in the left. For example, for the Fourier transform of cosine t, that equals to the, I remember it's the pi, delta, this should be some form like this, the Fourier transform. That is, duality means if we give a signal that looks like this form, t from t zero, the Fourier transform will become 2 pi times cosine negative, something like that.
That's the meaning of this
duality. This kind of form, the Fourier transform of this, if we give a time domain signal, this signal, if the form of this signal very similar to the form of the Fourier transform of this one. So after Fourier transform, these two will become kind of similar. Have this relationship. This table is a summary of the property of Fourier transform. Usually in this course we don't require you to remember all the concepts a lot. And in the exam, if it uses this property, you will need to bring your cheat sheet or make the professor will give you this table. This table, the Fourier transform property, and then another one, the Fourier transform, the common Fourier transform. Like, what's the Fourier transform? The cosine, sine, delta t, what it looks like. These two tables, you need to have these two tables to do the homework and for the exam. Otherwise, if you compute for a transform using the definition, it will be too much work. Here, for example, for the cosine wave, the Fourier transform, after Fourier transform, it will become only two pulses. It's very simple. And the periodic pulse change, if in the time domain, our signal is a lot of pulses, like this. After Fourier transform, in the frequency domain, the shape is just very similar. Still looks like this. Also for Gaussian pulse, if we give a Gaussian pulse in the time domain after Fourier transform, so in the frequency domain, it still looks like Gaussian, but it has already been stretched or been squeezed. But the shape looks like very similar. That's for the Gaussian pulse, for example. Okay, that's it for today.
Thank you. evaluated it. I guess I